Welcome to the Racer X podcast show. I'm your host, Steve Mathis, and this is the best podcast show that Racer X has ever had. It's also the only one they've ever had. But besides that, this week we have Justin Brayton on the Muscle Milk MDK KTM team. Justin is number 114 in your program, probably number one in your heart if you live in Iowa. He's right now the only rider that can probably truly say he has a big mo on his side going into A1. He had a great ride at the U.S. Open. He finished second to James Bubba Stewart at Bercy a few weeks back, and he's generally considered to be on his way up and to be the next guy that you're all going to read about in a few years. I don't know much about him. As I said, he's from Iowa. Paul Lindsay loves the guy. I thought I'd call him up and see what's going on with him and if he needs any sunglasses for his incredibly bright future that he has. This show will soon be on iTunes, so if you want to check that out in a little while, you can. If you want to look at the old podcast, or actually, appropriately enough, listen to the old podcast that I did on RacerX Canada, go to iTunes now. Under podcast, search Mathis or Motocross or search something, and you'll find the archives. There's some good ones in there. We're still looking for a sponsor for this little podcast show, so if you have some extra cash laying around and want to sponsor this thing, drop me a line. We'll see what we can do. I want to thank everybody and all the kind emails for these shows that I've been doing. I appreciate it. Now I present to you guys Justin Brayton. Justin Brayton, hey, thanks for doing this Racer X podcast show. I appreciate it. We're looking for a sponsor. Do you want to sponsor it?
Yeah, no problem.
Really? Because of Justin Brayton podcast?
Yeah, for sure. Let's do it. How much? A couple bucks or what?
Yeah, dude. Look in your couch cushions. You'll probably have enough, especially the way you've been riding lately.
Yeah.
Now, do you actually get purse money at Bercy, or do you just get start money?
This year I actually got like a guaranteed amount of money, and then also purse money on top of that, so it actually worked out well for me this year.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. So.
I don't think they expected me to get second, so I kind of...
Yeah.
Kind of got some money out of them.
Wait till next year, man. Your offer will only go up.
Hopefully.
Let's talk about Bercy, actually, right off the bat. Sounds like you were the second fastest guy there, or the first fastest human there. And I know, I guess just talk about that race first.
Bercy went unbelievable. It was I've been there. That was my third year, and the track was awesome this year. I think it's the best track that I've seen there anyways, and just riding a 450, and it went good. Obviously, with James being there and Kevin and Josh Grant, I think obviously USA had a really strong team, and Villeman and those guys ride really well over there, so It went better than expected. I definitely expected to go there and at least get on the podium at least, one or two of the nights, but I wasn't expecting to be the second best guy. I mean, every time we lined up, it seemed like I was, in my head anyways, I was the second best guy, and that's the way it turned out. So, James, like you said, isn't even human. He's unbelievable, but I think I learned a little bit from him and started closing the gap on the first night in practice times, I was like a second and a half off, and then by the third night, I was within half a second. So, closed the gap a little bit and learned a lot, but, I mean, obviously 15 or 20 laps, he's pretty much unbeatable at this point.
Yeah. Did you have any close calls in those tunnels?
No, not really. No. It was, I got really good starts and just kind of got away from everybody, so no really close calls.
And I've been there a couple times, and I know it seems like it's super tight track, and there's always seems like there's somebody at your skill level, your speed, and you just end up having a ramathon with at some point. Was there anybody there in Bercy that you couldn't get away from, or that you had something out?
No, it seemed like I was chasing that number seven bike the whole weekend. And
check you out. Yeah, just chasing number seven. That's about it.
That was good. I mean, Josh was fast, Kevin was fast, and I had a little run-in with Villeman on one of the two lap races. I was second right behind James, and he came in pretty hot and hit me pretty good, left a little bruise on his shoulder. So, it was good. I mean, the crowd needed it at that time, and it was racing. It was all fun and games. So, that was pretty much it. No big crashes, and
they go crazy for Villeman, huh?
Oh, yeah, he's like, it's insane over there. They actually went really crazy for Stewart also.
Oh, so did they? Yeah, really?
It's cool for them to see. I think that was probably the first time those guys have seen James ride. Obviously, you hear about him in all the magazines and on the websites and stuff, but for them to see him ride in person is totally different.
Yeah, I remember when I was there, like, it was when DV was going with McGrath head-to-head, and the last time I was there, and, dude, it was like,
Jesus got introduced. I mean, it was crazy. They just were freaking out over the guy, you know?
So, yeah, it's definitely crazy. That's cool.
Part of the reason why I wanted to do this podcast with you was because I wanted to get to be buddies with you before you become, like, superstar because, dude, you're on a roll with the X Games. You had a good summer at the Nationals. Your U.S. Open ride was phenomenal, I think. And the Bercy thing we just talked about, I mean, do you feel like you've stepped up in the last 6 months, or is it, I mean, have you done anything different to step up? What's your thoughts on the last little while for you?
Not really. I think it's kind of like a time and place kind of thing. I've never really, I don't know, I've never really caught onto it too fast. I wasn't a top amateur, and I think just now I got the bike. I mean, I have the team behind me. I have the right trainer, and you know, just like I said, a time and place, and it's like, now everything's coming together. I believe in myself. I believe in my bike. I believe in my fitness. And, you know, there's a lot of pieces of the puzzle. And I think, you know, I've finally found all the pieces and just slowly putting them together. And I think it's going to be good. I really enjoy riding the 450. I think I ride it really well. And I got to race the lights class this year, which is going to be good. I like riding the lights bike too, but I think I have a bright future in the 450 when I get a chance to ride that bike full time. But I think just mentally, I'm coming around, and I don't have a choice at this point. You know, I have to go out there and win. That's my only options to keep my career going, and I think I'm going to do that. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that was one of my questions on here. Is I talk about the X Games and the U.S. Open and Bercy, and they're all on a 450.
Yeah.
You signed a new deal with MDK. Is it 450 in the plans for that? Or is it, did you sign a 1-year deal?
Signed a 2-year deal with KTM to begin with, and this is my second year, and it was all light contract, but I'm actually racing the 450 outdoors this coming up year, so I'll race the lights indoors, and then probably put the lights bike on the shelf for the rest of my career, and in 2010, hopefully, you know, either stay with KTM or hopefully get a, you know, some type of 450 ride.
So my information was all off then. You didn't sign a new deal. You're in the second year. Yeah, so sorry about that.
Yeah. No, no big deal.
What was it like for you growing up in Iowa? First of all, is there any other fast motocrossers to come from Iowa?
Yeah, there's a lot of fast motocrossers that actually come from my town. Chad Pedersen, you probably know.
Yeah.
Schwab.
Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up from about a mile from his house, and then there's a couple, Teddy Mayer, who's really fast, and Cody Gilmore has the Loretta Lynch Championship, and it seems like there's a lot of guys out of the town I'm from, but none of them really make it that big as a pro, but amateur, they're really fast, and a lot of them are just off the bubble of being a factory rider, but Pedersen's the man. I looked up to him when I was little, and he actually was out doing the Racer X bike test, and he came over, and I got to check out my place out here in California, and sat on the couch and bench race for a while, so it was cool to sit down with him and chat. You know, he's one of my idols. So
yeah, he's back there now, right? I think, from what I hear, or he's
he lives in Minnesota now,
Minnesota,
but yeah.
No, when did you?
He was bad in his day.
When did you? I didn't realize Teddy Mayer was from here either. He's Canadian hero almost. So.
Yeah. I could probably almost throw a snowball and hit his house.
Oh, really?
He's real close. Yeah, we grew up real close to each other.
Yeah, he had some bad luck up in Canada this year, but he was fast when his bike didn't break anyways, and where he was hurt.
Yeah,
a little
he's
bit
fast. Too. He's really fast. He's racing some supercross this year, so.
Oh, good. Now, when was the first time, like, so you're growing up in Iowa and you're snowbound for a good part of the year. When was the first time that you, like, head down south in the winter, and when did you first start getting into riding?
To be honest, I never really went down south or did anything. I think my whole life, my parents just really, you know, pushed my schoolwork and just lived a normal life. I went to all my high school homecomings, and I just really enjoyed living a normal life, and I rode, you know, almost every day, and we'd race on the weekends, but during the winter, I wouldn't ride, and then we'd go race in arena cross in Illinois or Des Moines, or I think the furthest south we went was my stepdad actually is from Oklahoma. We went and stayed down there for a week and raced the Guthrie arena cross, but in the winter, I hung out in Iowa and did some snowboarding, and and lived a normal life. And I never really took motocross serious until I graduated high school. Then I raced the Des Moines Arena Cross and kind of turned some heads there and maybe thought, wow, I made a couple thousand bucks that weekend. That was kind of cool. Maybe I could make a living at this. You know, I gotta do something. So, and I was actually thinking about going to college, and I'm like, no, I'm going to give it. Actually, my parents said, let's give it a year or two and see how you do. And I have to get an arena cross ride, and that's pretty much it. I mean, I'm glad I did what I did. I was up for Rookie of the Year in 2002 in arena cross, me and Gavin Graysick, and it came down to, like, we were tied with a couple rounds to go, and we went to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's a pretty funny story. I ended up leaving that race to go to my senior prom. So he took, like, the points lead, and it was, like, a big thing. And then the shop I was riding for at the time, Storm Lake Honda, flew me to Tacoma, Washington, ended up coming back and beating him. So it was kind of cool. It was like, you know, I still got to enjoy my senior prom and get the Rookie of the Year. So
yeah, sweet.
Kind of a cool story. Yeah, it was fun.
Now, I was going to say, you're an arena cross. When I think about you, I'm like, yeah, that's an arena cross guy.
Yeah.
Was that just because you lived in Iowa? Like, obviously I can tell already, it wasn't a concentrated thing of like, hey, I'm going to hit some arena crosses and get some experience. You were like, well, I live in Des Moines, or not live in Des Moines.
Yeah.
Here's an arena cross right here. That's how you started out in arena cross? Is that basically
it? Yeah, for sure. I never thought about supercross. It was like, I'd watch it on TV and just think, that's way too far-fetched for me. I was like, watching McGrath and Ebbing and these guys, it's like, that wasn't even fathomable to me to race that. And then I grew up with, you know, Patterson racing arena cross in Des Moines, which is an hour and a half from my house, and so that was like the big deal. So yeah, we just raced arena cross, and that was it. I mean, it just started snowballing once I raced that, and like I said, I raced some amateur arena crosses here and there, but as far as amateur nationals, we didn't really have the money to go out and spend all the money on getting five bikes and two mod bikes and two practice bikes and all this stuff. And I did Loretta Lynn's a few times, but we just basically, you know, just raced some local races, and that's kind of what got me into arena cross.
Like, if you lived in Seattle, then you would probably have raced supercross, because then that's the local race.
It just so happened that
it was an arena cross.
Yeah, it was Des Moines arena cross.
Now, in arena cross, when you turned pro in 02 and you went to arena cross, and I know that arena cross is bar banging for sure. So what's your best almost arena cross fight in the pits, or that you were either in or that you saw?
I would say the scariest moment was actually my first ever arena cross. And I went out in practice, and I was just going for it. And I accidentally stuffed, I think it was Todd DeHoot.
Oh, yeah.
And he reamed me on the start line of our heat race. He came over and was like, if you ever do that, just basically scaring me. So I was just scared out of my pants. And then, it's funny, the main event, I came around to lap him, and I accidentally stuffed him off the track again. And
oh,
I was like,
dude,
I'm going to get my butt kicked. I couldn't think about even riding the rest of the time. I was like, we're going to get in a fight after this. I'm going to get beat up. And he didn't even say anything. Then the next weekend, I seen him at another arena cross. He's like, hey, you did good last weekend. Mm-hmm. I was like, really? Sorry about stuffing you, but nothing ever happened. But there's been times, I don't know if you remember Nick Metcalf, I took him out on accident. Well, not really accident, because it was in the dash for cash.
All your stories can be by accident.
yeah, exactly, yeah. No, the last corner, last lap, both nights in his hometown in, like, Topeka, Kansas or something, and the whole crowd is like 12,000 people just wanted to beat me up. They were booing me. And
oh, man.
It was pretty crazy. There was some pushing and shoving, but
yeah.
Never really got into too many altercations. I mean, a lot of people think arena cross is just bar banging crazy, but it's racing. I mean, it's all fun, and I mean, obviously, I talk good about it. That's kind of where I came from. So
yeah.
I think a lot of people, you know, if they go that route, I think I've proved that you can actually go that route.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's the first time I heard of you. And Paul Lindsay told a story in my last week's podcast about. He had no idea who you were. You were on a Honda, and you were tearing it up in practice. So that's kind of a funny story.
Yeah, totally. That's it all began that year. So.
How did you ever do it, Loretta Lynn's? I mean, do you have anything to brag about? Did you?
I was like right on the bubble. I got like 3 fourth place finishes the year that Hansen won, or actually Jeff Emig won. Hansen got second, and Clark Styles got third, and I got fourth. So it was like Emig and Styles probably shouldn't even be racing the A class. So it's like I kind of got, you know, overlooked there, and then pretty much fourth. I think my best moto finish was a third, and just always right on the bubble of, you know, the top two or three guys would get rides, and no one would even hear Justin Brayton's name. So. But
now your first gig out of the for a team was the Moto World, the Moto World Yamaha with Paul Lindsay, ironically, as your manager. A little of arena cross, a little supercross, a little motocross. I mean, talk about your Moto World days.
Moto World actually. I rode for a Honda team in arena cross for a year, and then Paul came to me. It was actually Moto World Suzuki at the time, and at that time, I really wanted to ride supercross, and he was starting an arena cross team, but he also had a well-known supercross team, so I was like, yeah, let's, you know, I did a two-year deal with him. The first year was arena cross only, and then the second year was supercross and nationals, so, I mean, I was pumped. It was the first time I ever got a salary to race a dirt bike, and I was just pumped that I thought I had made it, you know, and
I ended up breaking my leg.
What's that?
You were like, goodbye college.
Yeah, exactly, huh? No, I ended up breaking my leg really bad at the first race in Des Moines. It was like the season opener for Moto World. Me and my teammate both got hurt, me and Tommy Hoffmaster at the time. We got hurt at the first round. So I was out the whole year when Moto World raced Suzuki's, and then they ended up switching to Yamaha the next year. So my contract was Supercross, so that's when I ended up riding Supercross. So Moto World is awesome. There's, like I said, Paul, he's helped me out a ton. He's one of the reasons why I'm where I am today, because he believed in me and gave me a shot, and I definitely wouldn't be here without him.
Yeah, he's pretty pumped on you for sure the whole time. Like even in the last few years, you know, he's always said, "Oh, that guy's good. He's gonna be good." So,
yeah.
Didn't you race some races for Factory Connection?
Yeah, actually, it was before Moto World days. I raced for a Honda team in arena cross, and I was teammates with Buddy Antonez and Brad Hegseth, and Budman actually taught me a lot too. He's a big help to where I am now, but he knew Eric Kehoe and they needed a spot. I think Travis Preston and Billy Leninovich were hurt that year, so they needed a spot, and I think Budman talked to him and ended up talking to Kehoe. And so after the final round in Kansas City, I went home and was actually sitting at my house. I remember I was just sitting on the couch, and Eric Kehoe called my phone, and I've always looked up to Kehoe, too. He's a great guy. And I booked a flight for the next day, and I was out in California riding Antonez's practice bike on the Supercross track. So then it ended up giving me, like, a tryout, and then that day I got it and got some gear. And then the next week I was in St. Louis racing Supercross, so I'd rode a Supercross track for a total like a week and a half, and I was racing, so that was great. That was a huge opportunity for me just to ride a bike like that and get to know some more people, and all the guys at Factory Connection were awesome. They were great to me.
Yeah, what year was that? So I thought that was after the Moto World thing or somewhere in the middle of the Moto World thing.
No, that was right before Moto World. I ended up signing a contract, I think, at Salt Lake that year with Moto World. That was 2004.
Okay. So after the Moto World thing, KTM came calling. What was that deal like? And did you have other people that you were close to signing with? Or, I mean,
I talked to a couple different teams. I wasn't getting the best results, but I kind of showed some potential. And I remember one of my good friends, Michael Sleater, he's the test rider for KTM, was saying that KTM had been, you know, my name was one in the hat that they were thinking of, and I was like, oh, that'd be awesome ride for a factory team, you know. Mm-hmm. And I ended up going to Dallas and turning the fastest lap time in practice by, like, over half a second. I was like, all right, I'm going to go over and talk to KTM right now. It's a good time to talk to them. And then so I talked to them. I talked to Casey Lytle, the team manager at the time, and sounded super interested, and we exchanged numbers. And then I went out that night, and I didn't even qualify. I crashed in the first turn in my heat and in the LCQ, so And I was just, like, bummed. I was thinking, man, it's over with now. But Casey called me that week and said they were interested. And actually, I think I tested their bike some point in there, and then didn't really get the results that they were looking for. I know I think I got a couple top fives, but
yeah.
And ended up signing with them, like, a month later. So that was awesome. And it's definitely a great team to be with. So
what do you think about the KTM motorcycle? It gets a kind of a bad rap a lot of times. What do you like about it?
Yeah, it does kind of get a bad rap, but for me, I like it. I think it suits my riding style really well. I mean, the linkage thing is just, I think it's just in people's head that just because all the other motorcycles have it and KTM doesn't, it means it's bad. But for me, I really love the bike. I mean, both the 250 and 450 are awesome bikes. I think I proved that the 450 is capable of winning supercrosses with the right guy on it. And obviously, it's capable of winning outdoors with Alessi and stuff. So, and the 250, it's the fastest 250, I think, on the track. So,
yeah.
And it handles really well. So, it's definitely a winning motorcycle. I think you just need to, you know, with the right attitude and the right person on it, they could win championships for sure.
Yeah, there's no doubt about their speed. They were pulling tons of hole shots this year. And, I mean, you're a bigger guy, and you didn't look like you were underpowered at any point, really, you know, anytime I saw you.
No, yeah.
And then when I was,
yeah, for sure. I was never really underpowered. So
when I did that interview with you this summer after the X Games, you mentioned that your 450 was pretty stock, and that surprised me too. You really didn't do a whole bunch to it.
Yeah.
So that was
no. Actually, it's kind of a funny story. It's actually a 2007 KTM 450 that I rode all year. People don't even know that, but
yeah.
it was actually raced at the Motocross the Nations, I think, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they just gave it to me for a practice bike, and I rode it every now and again in the hills and stuff, and then I ended up getting supercross suspension put on it, and I went out and rode it. I was like, man, I love this thing, and it was literally stock. I mean, I had clamps and suspension and
yeah.
a pipe on it and handlebars, obviously, but then we changed some gearing, and that was it, and I raced it at the X Games just like that. And then for the U.S. Open, they ended up giving me a little bit of motor work and stuff like that, but... pretty much, yeah. It was a 2007 chassis, and I made it work. I really liked the bike. I mean, I had no complaints about it. They actually wanted to give me a new one before U.S. Open, and I turned it down. I said, no, I don't want a new one. I just want to keep that same chassis and put a new motor in it. Let's do that.
Yeah, it's too bad you crashed in that second night. I think you would have been right up in the top three, you know, overall.
Yeah, I felt like I turned some heads there, and
yeah.
Josh Hill kind of. I don't know
turned
if he
my head
thought
sure.
I was the berm or what, but yeah, he kind of ran right into me, but it's all right, that's racing, and it was good. I had a pretty good showing, so.
Yeah, definitely. Everybody who watched you was like, holy crap, that guy's fast, he's on it. So are there any plans to do the opposite coast for you this year on a 450 and Supercross, or?
Yeah, just kind of, I think if I'm in the championship points, which I expect to be, they don't want me to do it, but if I'm, you know, if something bizarre happens and I'm not right around the championship lead, then I'll probably end up doing them, so we'll just play that by ear, but I would love to do them, you know, even if I'm in the points lead or right around there. I love to race, I just love the competition, and obviously I think I could, you know, do even better than I did last year on the 450 on the opposite coast. So.
Mm-hmm. Or you could ride your 250F now with the new rule. I'm not sure why you would do that, but anyways, you could.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Do you know anybody who's going to do that? Is there any gossip around the
I haven't heard. No, I haven't heard. I think you could probably do the same lap times as some of the top guys, but it's a totally different ballgame to race with them, you know, to get the start with them. And and if somebody's going slow in front of you on a 450, they could still do the triple out of the turn, where 250, you might not be able to do it. So
yeah,
it would be pretty interesting.
What's it like working with world champion Tortelli? He's your trainer / mental coach / riding coach / man friend. What's that like?
No, Tortelli's been a huge help to my riding. He's really helped me excel to the next level. I mean, he, like you said, he's a world champion, so he has the world champion mentality, and he knows what it takes. You know, he gives me life lessons, and it's not just my riding or training. It's like, it's everything in life in general. It's balancing, you know, friends and family and training and your eating habits and everything. It's really helped me get to the next level, like I said, and he's awesome to have around. Definitely have in my corner for a long time.
He quite possibly might be one of the nicest guys in the sport as well, especially for as much as
he's won. He's a really good guy. I don't know anybody that dislikes him, so that's definitely a positive thing.
Does he still ride much? How does he go on a bike?
Yeah, he actually rode with me a little bit this summer, and the guy's awesome. He stands up, like, all the way around the track, and he's, it don't even look like he's going fast, but he's hanging with me, you know, like he owned the Paris Raceway, and
yep.
He was fast, and I told him I was racing 450 outdoors, so he's like, all right, I'm going to have to get in shape, we're going to have to ride, so I'm sure he still has it. He's been riding enduro cross stuff, and kind of getting, you know, back into riding a little bit, so yeah. It'll be fun this
still time. Probably keeps his elbows up super high, because he always did. And hopefully he doesn't. You should just get him to tell you stories about some of his crashes. Good God, that guy had some horrendous crashes.
Yeah. The other day we were talking about injuries, and he was telling me about an injury. I'm like, you actually got hurt in your career? And he hit me, and he's had some injuries, that's for sure, but, dude. I mean, everybody does, and that's, but when he wasn't hurt, he was fast. He was one of the only guys to challenge Ricky outdoors, so.
I know, his old mechanic used to tell me that wheels and frames would just be destroyed after a little while with him. He's just so hard on
the bike. Yeah, he was hard on the bike.
Yeah, definitely. I checked out justinbrayton.com before I wrote my questions up, because I don't really know you too well. And it says you like George Strait and the color orange. Is that still true?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's true. I'm a big country fan, being from Iowa. People always, you know, they kind of diss on the country, but it's pretty much all I listen to, so big country fan.
And the color orange? I mean, come on, dude. Don't just say that.
Yeah. Actually, I had this orange shirt in high school that I wore like every other day. It was my favorite shirt ever, and it was bright orange, so that is actually my favorite color.
Okay. What's your favorite movie or movies of all time?
My favorite movie of all time is 8 Seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you've seen it with the Bull Rider, so that's definitely my favorite.
Guy from 90210.
Yeah, exactly. Luke Perry.
Yeah, Luke Perry. Lane Frost.
Yeah.
That's it, Lane Frost.
Yep, Lane Frost.
And,
yeah, that's my favorite. It's a good movie.
What's your favorite TV show?
Probably SportsCenter. I'm a big sports fan. Also, just turn on. I don't get much time to watch TV, but when I do, before bed, just turn on SportsCenter and catch up on the latest gossip around the sports world.
Yeah. What's your favorite sport besides motocross?
I like to play golf. But I like to watch football and pretty much any sport. You know, like I said, I'm just a big sports fan, but. Mm-hmm. I really get into football. I'm not a crazy fan. I just like to watch. I don't have no real favorite teams or nothing, but I just enjoy watching it with the buddies.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. What's your favorite food?
My favorite food, probably some type of pasta. I don't eat that very much either, but it's definitely good to get a good bowl of pasta.
Who's your closest friend in motocross?
Closest friend in motocross?
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't really have that many friends in motocross. Like, I have a lot of friends, but no like real close friends. I mean, I'm pretty close to like you know, good friends with Sleater and Ryan Morris and guys like that. Reardon, you know, they're all good guys, but I guess I'm not like really really good friends with you know, with any of them. I got to race them on the weekend, so can't be best friends with them.
Good move. You can ask Ryan Morris about the time I wrenched for him, dude. We swept the mini O's back in the day. But is there always some guy that you always meet up with on the track? Is there some rival on the track that you guys just always end up banging bars with?
Not really. I haven't. When I rode East Coast on the 250, it was Matt Gerke.
Oh, yeah.
Seems like we're always hitting each other and doing something. Then we were teammates last year, so we joked about it. But no, not really. Try to keep out of all that stuff and just kind of do my own deal. And if somebody's in front of me, I'm going to try to pass them. I don't really care who it is or nothing. But me and Shorty kind of had a little...
Shorty's name in everybody's conversation. James told me that he's the smiley-faced assassin because he's such a nice guy. So...
Yeah.
And how much do you deal with Lamson? Does he help you out? Does he tell you really good stories about back in the day?
Yeah, Lamson's awesome. He's really cool to be around. He comes to the track with me pretty much every day, and when we're testing everything. But he's awesome to have around. He's got some funny stories, but you'd never even know that he's a 2-time national champ. I mean, he's
fourth on the wins all-time wins list.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's crazy if you just met him, you'd never know it. But he's a bad dude. He's awesome on a dirt bike. So
yeah. I heard he still goes pretty good on a Supi track too. I guess he was riding the 450 a little bit last summer. or last winter.
Yeah, so. He actually rode a 144 one day at the track, and everyone was telling him he couldn't jump everything. He went out there and jumped the triples and skimmed the loops with outdoor suspension and everything. So, but I think he couldn't walk for like a week. His back was hurting.
Yeah,
so.
he was all pissed off at you guys for making him do that.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are you looking for in this year coming up? I mean, Supercross, you want to win? You've got the title in sight?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I want to crawl before I can walk. I haven't even won a race yet, so I've just been on the podium. But first step is to win races. I definitely think that's within my reach. And, just get good starts and race to my capability. I've been showing what I have lately. I've always been fast, but it's been hard for me to put it together. But lately, I think just mentally, I've really turned it around. And now that I know I really belong with the best guys, I'm one of them now. So there's no reason why I can't beat them. And then if the championship comes around, it comes around. But I'm just going to focus on getting my first win and then hopefully get my second and third and being on the podium week in and week out.
I think that's a huge thing, is you actually believe that you belong up there. You know what I mean? You're not just some arena cross guy from Iowa. Now you're like, hey, wait a minute. I'm fast. I belong up here. So.
Yeah, and I've actually proved that to myself the last few races. I mean, with Shorty breathing down my neck at US Open and Tedesco right in front of me, and if that was a year or two ago, I don't think I'd be able to handle that pressure. Like I was telling somebody the other day, like, they're like, well, how come it took you so long to get to this level or whatever? But I honestly don't think I could have handled the pressure at 17 or 18 like these kids do now. They have that pressure to win every race, and it's like, I don't know if I could have handled that then, but now I'm able to handle that, and I put the pressure on myself to do that, and running with, Kevin and Josh Grant at Bercy, and being right behind Stuart and learning some stuff from him when I could see him, I think it's all getting better for me.
And then who was your favorite rider growing up?
McGrath was always my favorite rider, and I really liked Wyndham also. Mm-hmm. They were just their style and the way they rode.
It's got to be bizarre for you to be racing against Wyndham now, or beating him at Bercy.
Yeah, that was cool. We actually got to spend some time together, and I might go spend a few weeks down at his place in the next couple months and just ride with him a little bit. So it's cool to even be talking to him. And he called my phone the other day, and I just thought it was the coolest thing, like a kid in a candy store. Kevin Wyndham's calling my cell phone, you know?
Dude, that's what I feel like. That's like when Ferry calls me.
Exactly, huh?
It's the same feeling.
Yeah, totally.
What about the internet and like Moto News and sites like that? Do you follow that stuff? Do you read it? Do you just laugh about it, or what do you?
Yeah, I actually get on it every now and again. See the guys at the shop will say, "Oh, do you see this on Moto News?" So I'll go home and check it out, and it's crazy stuff on there. But some of it's true, and some of it's so bizarre. I don't even know why. Open it up and read it, but
yeah,
it's cool to have there's fans like that some of them think they know what they're talking about and they probably don't, and some of them know what they're talking about, so it's cool to have fans like that. I think there's fans like that in every sport, so
yeah I just think in other sports, you wouldn't get Terrell Owens clicking on a website to read about himself, and in our sport we're still small enough where the riders actually read it and care about it and think about it,
Yep, for sure.
Now, do the guys on your team really want to beat me up? I keep hearing that.
No, they don't. Actually, you might get jumped in Anaheim one. I'm not supposed to say anything, but...
Yeah, see? No, I think they're mad at me.
Nobody ever says anything. I haven't heard anything, but...
I'll
let you know.
Like, when the flat tires were happening, I kind of wrote about it, and I heard from third-hand sources that guys were not happy with me, so...
Really?
Yeah, I don't want them to...
I just think the guys just get offensive. I mean, they put in so many hours during the week to make everything go right, and then when it doesn't go right, I think they kind of get offensive about it a little bit. But
Layton is very, let's say, passionate about KTMs. So.
For sure. He's unbelievable. He can definitely build a motor and build a good bike, so I think he's very passionate about what he does.
Do you ever not understand what he's saying? Do you ever just look at him and go, what did you just say?
Some people say that, like, he just kind of mumbles, but he's good. I was actually testing with him all day today, and
he
built me a good bike for the year, so I'm excited.
Yeah, no, he's a good guy. He's a great guy, and more people should be that passionate about it. We'd be better off, definitely. All right, man. Well, hey, thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. I said I'd keep you half hour, and I did. And thanks for being so available to do this as well. I think you're an up-and-coming rider, and I want to catch on to your wagon before you become that superstar. So I thought a podcast would be really good.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's always fun to do things like this. So looking forward to the season, and about it. So thanks for having me.
All right, great, man. Thanks a lot, and see you soon.
All right, have a good night. We'll talk to you later.
Justin Brayton, there it is. Racer X Podcast with Justin Brayton. MDK KTM, number 114 on the bike. I don't know why he doesn't run his number, actually, that he's been assigned. I should have asked him that. Oh, well, next time. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. And stay tuned next week when I'll bring you another exciting guest on the Racer X Podcast.